This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Heard Mitch McConnell there. It's back. Congress is back. What are they going to do right to the end of 2019? Kate Delaney broadcasting from LaGrange, Georgia. Thrilled to be here. I'm speaking at the Governor's Conference on Tourism. They have such a clever name. I got to thank Julie Musselman for hiring me, her and her committee for picking me, because it's all about leading the pack, GTC 19. I'm going to send pictures that all of you can see. Post them all over the place. Just say send pictures. I'm going to post them all over the place on Facebook, etc. And it's boy, just a who's who of everyone related to Georgia and even beyond the borders. They had a really stellar 2018, and they're on top of it as far as tourism is concerned. Is Congress going to be on top of it? Members of Congress have had 6 weeks away from the Capitol, most of them, but they're back, and a lot happened in August. We know that. You got senators and reps that were in recess when we had mass shootings, so the whole gun violence thing is up for grabs. Guns, with four high-profile mass shootings since the House left. The most recent was in the Midland, Odessa area of Texas. Terrible. Seven people died August 31st. You remember that. And then that followed the horrific massacre in Gilroy, California, El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. 43 people altogether dead with the combined shootings, and so many more injured. So here's what we know. The Democratic-led House, they're going to focus on the issue. They're holding news conferences, a forum, floor speeches. The House Judiciary Committee has a hearing scheduled later this month on assault weapons. They're also going to hold a meeting on a whole bunch of other measures. The Senate isn't expected to take up any of them, and instead they've been talking about alternatives like addressing mental health, video games, a proposal that would provide grants to states that create red flag programs. Of course, red flag programs are huge. I think tougher background checks we've talked about on this show, and we've talked about that with a lot of different people too as well. So, you know, you heard Mitch McConnell, you've got big discussions, I'm sure, with Mitch McConnell coming, and the president and the House Speaker, and you know, there's a big push and there's a lot of reaction to this. Now, trade is another big issue. It's been 10 months since the U.S., Mexico, and Canada signed off on the North American trade deal. That's a big deal. It will come up for a vote in the fall, but House Democrats are still working on a bunch of concerns, which include enforcement and labor standards. So that's one thing. Then, I mean, there's a bunch of really important measures and really important discussions. You know, there was a sort of a little bit of a drumbeat about it, impeachment, which is ridiculous. If I was a Democratic strategist, I wouldn't even go there, because I don't see what the purpose. I don't see the purpose of pushing the impeachment thing. But a majority of House Democrats do, and they've called for a formal impeachment inquiry, a list that grew over the summer recess. Their leadership is resisting it, though, and they're pointing to ongoing investigations and looking at congressional committees and lawsuits and uncovering new information, but not really pushing the impeachment envelope. I'm talking about the leadership of the Democrats. Prescription drugs, opioid crisis, drug pricing, also something Republicans and Democrats actually have a consensus on, or we think they're kind of seeing eye to eye, coming up with solutions that could pass both chambers before the end of the year and before the election season. And of course, Nancy Pelosi has been working on legislation that is supposed to appeal to moderates that want to accomplish a key campaign promise, and that is change to holding companies accountable and significantly lowering prices. Woohoo! Do you want to pay less for your drugs when you're sick as a dog and you go and then you're shocked at whatever it costs? Of course, that's seriously, that is a bipartisan issue. I don't see how you're going to have a lot of blowback on that. I cannot imagine that we would see that. The other big thing is Dorian left a couple of people dead. I mentioned this already. Three people, 3,500 without power in North Carolina. The Governor Roy Cooper, of course, state of emergency. We knew this was bearing down on the Carolinas, and there were some problems. There's no question about that, but not the kind of problems that we thought could have happened, like what we saw in the Bahamas, where you've got 70,000 people. 70,000 people. Think about that for a minute. I'm going to slow it down. That are just homeless. It doesn't matter. You had money at a gorgeous house. You were making okay money. You were surviving. It was a big tourist place, and it's just in a shambles, like Grand Bahamas, just absolutely awful. Another big conversation is about North Korea. North Korea is willing to resume talks this month, but what are the talks going to be about? Nuclear talks, of course. Is there a chance of any kind of a deal? Flip a coin. Right now it looks like kind of in the maybes, but I don't have a seat at the table, so I can't tell you that for sure. This is just based on supposition with conversations that I've had with people who do know a little bit more about the stakes, because they're closer to the action, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. Right? Yes, of course you know what I mean. Yes. I'm out of breath already, and we just started this show. It must be the clean air that I'm inhaling here in Georgia. This is crazy. This story has to go at the top of the show. 9 elementary school students, imagine this, you get this phone call, were sent to the ER after inadvertently eating weed candy. Yep, they had marijuana-infused candy. They were 10 to 12 years old. This was in Cooper City, Florida. A student accidentally brought in candy laced with THC, packaged almost identical to common sour candy. That's the idea. And guess what? It wasn't sour candy. So they went to the hospital. You can imagine, like I said, you can imagine that phone call. Oh, your child has ingested some THC. How? How's that possible? Some candy. Whoops. That's a big oops. It does look like that. You know, there's been arguments about the candy that looks like it could be any kind of candy, and how many how many kids could get a hold of that and not realize that it's not candy for them. Just stay away from the bad candy, kids. Just stay away from the bad candy. All right, let's talk about something fantastic. And how about this? Anytime there's a rescue, you think of rescue workers, you think of Coast Guard, anybody in the rescue business. And this is interesting. This is something that that has been talked about a ton in Georgia, and of course it's the cargo ship that capsized. And the ship was, just boom, it was over, it was on fire. It didn't look like, how could you possibly get anyone out of it? If you haven't seen it, whatever search engine you use, go and check it out, because it's amazing that they were able to pull the people off the ship, the workers off the ship that they were able to pull out, but they did. And I think it's brilliant. It's a day to celebrate whenever you get a chance to do that. All 4 crew members from the capsized cargo ship were pulled out. So kudos to the Coast Guard for being able to do that, because it flipped over. It was on fire. It was nasty. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. So I Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95, and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Interesting times of what we're talking about here in this country in this edition of For Your Health. Autism, in fact, there's a new character on Sesame Street that has autism, which I think is great because so many people are living with autism, dealing with autism, and the more we understand, the better. We have Paul Loudon with us. He's got a new book out called Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Author of this new book, Paul Loudon, understands personally what this is like as an autistic adult. So, Paul, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
All right, so let's go back to the beginning and realizing and understanding autism and wanting to share your story. First of all, what made you want to share your story?
It sort of happened by chance. It started as the person I was working with to help improve my symptoms and my situation. She had a radio show, and she invited me on as a guest with the intent to trick me into co-hosting it with her, which led to me learning and practicing talking about it. And it just sort of became a realization that I was more verbal than a lot of us on the spectrum and more able to explain things than a lot of us on the spectrum. And so it became clear that this was just something that I had an opportunity to do. I was in the right situation, and I really wanted to try to help people understand better some of the things we struggle with.
Yeah, so when you were a kid, when were you diagnosed with autism?
I was diagnosed at 23, so not a kid
wow.
at all.
Wow. Yeah, not a kid. Yeah. So that means your family, so growing up, did you realize something was different? Did they realize something was different? I mean, that had to be difficult.
So a variety of factors played into my late diagnosis. One, I'm 34 now, so it was a decent amount of time ago. I was born in 1983. By the time I was, you know, an adolescent, it was more of the ADD craze, and I did get diagnosed with that. before that, though, we also moved around a lot. My dad worked in oil, so we were overseas and then back in the U.S. and then overseas again and back in the U.S. And so while I was struggling with social things and a variety of other things, there was always that element of, well, you know, he's just left all of his friends behind and he's having to make new friends and meet new people and get used to living in a house with a wall around it or whatever. You know, there was always those elements. So it wasn't really until high school when we settled back in the States, and particularly when I left to try to go to college and things started falling apart, that we realized that something was seriously wrong and just how seriously wrong it was. And then, fortunately enough, at about 21 or 22, I stumbled across an article about autism and particular Asperger's. And from reading that article, it gave me inspiration to go and consult with a neuropsychologist and seek diagnosis.
And what did the neuropsychologist tell you about the spectrum and Asperger's and all of that?
Honestly, not much. What I worked with her on was just the testing. So go in, parents go in and talk about her history. I take a variety of tests. Some of them are standard IQ tests, things like that. Other ones are ones focused more on autism. And then I got a diagnosis in the mail just telling me you've got Asperger's. And from there, it was largely about research on my own, trying to learn more about it, read about other people's experiences with it, and try to spend a lot of time learning about myself and how I experience the world.
So in finding that diagnosis out, getting that in the mail, Asperger's, like you said, finding out more about yourself, what are the things that you have to battle as somebody who has Asperger's?
Well, first, I do prefer to just say I have autism now because the Asperger's diagnosis has been removed in the latest edition of the DSM, and I feel that's generally for the better in helping people recognize that it is one disorder and that those of us who may be higher functioning still often have significant challenges. I have severe challenges with self-management and motivation. I have a hard time upkeeping my living space, regularly paying bills. I regularly lost jobs just because I was a very extremely literal person, and so I actually read the employee handbook, and I would contradict my boss on things when he got things wrong, and that, you know, technically correct is not the good kind of correct, despite what Futurama may say. So there were a lot of issues all along the way, and so between that, some comorbid conditions, I have gut issues and things like that. I have sensory issues in particular relating to sound. So I've got a whole range of symptoms that provide me with struggles in day-to-day life.
You talk about communication. What parts of communication are challenging for people with autism?
One of the big things is that with autism, we're typically seen by people who don't have autism as missing a lot of things, that we don't pick up on, you know, facial expressions, body language, tone of voice. But we also tend to not use that as much ourselves, and we often feel that other people are missing carefully chosen words or very clear to us statements. And so it's sort of a two-way street where we communicate in a different way than the people around us do in many cases, but it's a situation where if we're in a room full of autistic people, support group or whatever, we often find that we feel pretty comfortable because the people around us communicate like we do. So a lot of times it's the implied communication, be it something like sarcasm or tone of voice or something like, you know, gee, that garbage can sure looks full, meaning would you mind taking out the garbage without actually saying it? And so there's a whole host of things that we tend to miss in communication, but we also feel like people misinterpret our communication in ways that we find surprising. For example, I might say, I don't like McDonald's hamburgers. Now, to a typical person, that means the same thing as I dislike McDonald's hamburgers, but I might just mean it as saying, you know, I'll eat them, but they aren't on my list of things I actively seek out. You know, it's not a dislike, it's just also not a like. So I might be extremely technical in how I say things that people don't get, and that can often lead to someone being insulted or interpreting a statement as more negative than it is. And so there's a lot of conflicts of communication that benefit from both sides understanding that the other side communicates differently.
Oh, so agree with that. Powerful what you just said. What kind of advice would you offer up to parents to understand a little bit better a child who is autistic? Because, I mean, we know that that's a big struggle.
One of the biggest pieces of advice I give is that if they're communicating at all, be it verbal, be it nonverbal, such as actions or even just random sounds, place as much trust as you can in them, even if it doesn't make any sense to you. If they say, you know, that hurts, don't say, oh, come on, it's just a little, because sensory issues mean that it could feel a lot more severe to them in terms of hurting or being bright or being loud than it does to you. And so a lot of times you run into this situation where as you experience things, people keep telling you, oh, it's not a big deal, or I believe you can do it, and then you fail at it. You start to lose faith in your own decision-making process. It can be hard to trust yourself when no one around you trusts you. So wherever you can, trust their experiences and try to solve problems in ways that validate their expression of what they experienced with that problem.
Yeah, again, great advice. So you know this, the FDA is trying to find some insight from people with autism, so you would be one of those people. And given that, what would you tell them about treatments? And you've been talking about it, what you've done yourself, but what kind of treatments would you say the FDA should look at?
You know, one of the things that has helped me personally the most, I struggled a lot with depression, and when I finally found the right medication for my depression, it also helped with my anxiety somewhat. And I discovered that a lot of times I was spending 10, 20, 30% of my energy on managing anxiety, which meant that I only had 70% on dealing with additional stuff from autism, and then additional stuff from autism would increase my anxiety, making it even harder. And so as I got my anxiety under control, my ability to deal with some of my autism struggles, things that would normally bother me dramatically, like if someone at a nearby table had their children watching videos without headphones, it used to make me so tense and so stressed that I'd be doing everything to get out of the restaurant as soon as I can. I'd be like, okay, I want to pay my bill, I want to leave, I need to get someplace more in my control. And now it's just sort of like, eh, it happens. So I found that a lot of times what helps, and I've heard this from other people, is treating not the autism, but the other conditions that often go along with it. You know, if they have gut issues, finding out if a dietary solution can help with that. Pay attention to nutrition issues. Pay attention to any other comorbid symptoms. Seizures are common in individuals with autism, subclinical seizures. So you don't even see them happening, but they can cause someone to appear to, you know, lose the idea mid-sentence and stare off into the distance or whatever, where it's the brain has a seizure internally that doesn't show up as the stereotypical physical expression of a seizure that a lot of people think of. So there's a lot of comorbid conditions with autism, and I think that, you know, while we don't really have a good idea for medications to treat autism itself, there's a lot that goes along with it that we can treat that can really help people struggling with autism be more comfortable and then better able to interact with their therapists, their therapy, their family, their educators, anyone around them in more positive and constructive ways.
All right, great place to end this. Great stuff. Paul Loudon, the book is Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Pick it up. I'm assuming, Paul, people can get it on Amazon, right?
Absolutely. People can get it on Amazon or loudononautism.com. to find out more about me and see some of my videos and blog posts.
Great. Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
We pledge the full support of the federal government through every step of the rebuilding process.
President Trump in Fayetteville, North Carolina, talking about the rebuilding effort in the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian. He tells the huge crowd at the Keep America Great Again rally.
And I will say, North Carolina in our country probably got hit the hardest. That was a little bit of a surprise. But I know one thing about North Carolina. You can take it and you'll build it quickly and you'll build it beautiful and you'll be back sooner than anybody ever thought.
And he goes on to tell the crowd.
I've just come from a meeting with North Carolina officials representing communities hit by Hurricane Dorian. And I express the unwavering solidarity of the American people. We are behind you 100%.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. Exclusions apply.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text 211 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text 211 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's D-O-1-1 to 350350.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Greg, I'm always amazed by the people that we have on this show, and I really like what we're going to talk about next. In our virtual green room, CEO Seth Sternberg of something called JoinHonor.com is with us. And I don't know about you, but when I think about getting older and I start to wonder what is that space going to look like, the more I read about this company, the more excited I got. How about you?
Many people are thinking about what happens when I get older, but I think as Seth is going to tell us, for a lot of people, this is a reality today because either they are older or they have aging parents, and it's becoming kind of a challenge to manage in a loving and appropriate way.
Absolutely. So Seth, tell us about JoinHonor.com and what you think the current state of home care is in the country.
Yeah, so Honor was created to help us help our parents remain in their homes as they age. 90% of people over the age of 65 when they're polled want to be able to stay in their homes, which makes intuitive sense, right? As you get older, of course, you want to stay in your home and you want to go elsewhere. But it turns out that as you get older, there are certain things that become hard to do, like getting food, at some point, even something like getting out of bed. And so we send care professionals into people's homes to help them accomplish these things that are called activities of daily living, which are things like getting food, getting dressed, getting out of bed, getting to the doctor's office, all those, you know, very standard things. But if you can't do one or two of them, then it's very hard to live alone. It's a very large industry today. In America alone, it's a $30 billion industry.
Mm.
But it's not a very good product today. Unfortunately, the industry is what you might call hyper-fragmented. There are about 50,000 agencies that deliver home care. And as a result, they each have very, very few caregivers individually to pull from. And what's so important is that you have enough caregivers such that your mom's or dad's unique needs are met by the unique skills of that caregiver. So if your mom, for example, has cats in her home and maybe she has early onset dementia, then you really want a caregiver who is both trained in working with people who have early onset dementia and who also is not allergic to cats. And so having a depth of professionals to pull from is really important. And that can really only come with scale, but that doesn't yet exist in this industry, and that's what we're trying to solve.
It's interesting, as you were describing that scenario, the one word that popped into my mind, Seth, was the word scale, because you've got to have enough clients and enough caregivers to be able to match them up, almost like a dating service. No one wants to be part of a dating service when there's only two other people to date.
That's exactly right.
It's, and as you were describing that, it actually reminded me of a conversation I had with my grandmother when she was about 92. And she said, well, the good news is I'm still cleaning my house on my own at 92. She said, the bad news is my eyes are not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew when we visited her that she really needed some help. And it was really was a struggle. You know, as you said, and I want to reinforce, we're not talking about, this is not medical help. This is around the house help, doing things that are really, they might be important for health. And in some cases, I suspect, and I hope you'll confirm, that they're really just important for quality of life.
That's right. And also to just keep people active and engaged. So one of the kind of issues that you see as people grow older is it becomes harder to get out because driving at night is a little more difficult. And then driving in general is a little bit more difficult. And then mobility might make it a little bit more difficult. And so people become isolated. And that's actually something that causes faster decline as people get isolated. So a benefit of home care is actually breaking the isolation cycle. It makes it easier to have other people come over because you have someone there who's helping arrange things, but it also is a person in and of themselves who can, you know, you can have conversations with. You know, we actually make sure that our care professionals know about, for example, the proudest moment in someone's life, know about what someone's career was, so that they can really engage with the folks that they're working with.
Yeah, when we look, Seth, at technology and introducing technology to that everyday life of the caregivers and with the challenges we have today, and we know technology is just moving at the speed of light anyway, how does this work from the standpoint of the givers, those that give, and then the clients?
Yeah, so the clients get an app that they can, you know, download in the App Store, and it lets them do things like schedule their visits. It lets them see who's coming. It lets them read notes. So one thing our clients love is that they get a note after every visit from the care pro explaining what happened that day, and that's especially important if you don't live near your parents, so you can kind of keep tabs on what's happening. But you know, I'd say the probably the more important application that we build is actually the one for the care pros. Because that's, if you think about it from your perspective, if you're purchasing Honor for your mom and dad, or if you're purchasing Honor for yourself, what you really care about is that the care pro is amazing. You don't care about technology. You don't care about the apps. You just want an amazing person. And so what our application for the care pros is designed to do is to make those care pros excellent. It's almost like when you and I use Google Maps, and that tells us when a restaurant's open or how to get somewhere. It's simplifying, and it makes our it makes us smarter. It makes us better. So our app for the care pros does the same thing. It tells them client information. It tells them, you know, like I said, what was this person's career. It tells them what is this person's medical issues. It tells them, hey, when you go to this home, these are the things that this customer would like you to do today. You know, help clean up around the house, cook this kind of food, et cetera. It even does things like ensuring that the care pro actually arrived at the house. So in this industry today, the kind of literal no-show rate of CarePros going to homes is very high. Mm. And so the app actually ensures that a CarePro did go to the home because it's watching to make sure that the GPS chip was at the home when it was supposed to be there. So it's all about making that CarePro truly excellent. There's another side of this that I think is also important. Because it's technology-based, we're able to save money on the operation side of Honor. So we don't need as many people kind of in the back office figuring out where people are going because a computer can do that. We take that money and we turn it into higher pay for the care pros. That means that we're able to get better care pros who are then in a better place in their own lives so that they can then deliver better care.
We hear a lot of talk, Seth, about the reputation economy. We're talking with Seth Sternberg. He's the CEO of the company Honor. The website is joinhonor.com. We hear a lot of talk about the reputation economy, and I'm wondering if that applies in your model as well. Are care pros rated by both the senior that they're caring for and the family of the senior so that a higher rating elevates them within your company and allows you to make sure that you're only using the absolute best care pros available?
Yeah, so it's fascinating. We have ratings that our clients do of a care pro. It's actually the average client rating of a care pro out of 5 is 4.67.
And then that's pretty good.
That's pretty amazing. And then we actually have the care pros rate Honor. And recently we did a survey and asked them, how likely would you be to recommend Honor to friends of yours who wanted to be a care pro? And 87% came back with a 9 or a 10, which is highly recommend, which is awesome. So the care pros are really happy. The customers are really happy. But importantly, in this concept of the reputation economy, you have to be careful to interpret data the right way. And so let's say that a certain care pro is working in only one home, and that home always gives everyone bad reviews. Hmm. That should not negatively impact that care pro, right? We don't want to set that person up for failure. And so we actually look for a bunch of other signals to figure out how good a job is a care pro doing. Things like, are they regularly leaving notes for the customer? How long are those notes? Are they arriving on time regularly? Do they stay for the full shift length? There's a lot of, do they go through the full care plan when they're in the home and accomplish the tasks they're supposed to accomplish? So we're looking at a bunch of data. Some of it's really obvious, right, like the star ratings, but some of it's a little bit less obvious because we have to be careful to treat people fairly.
One of the things that fascinates me about your company, Seth, is as I went through your website getting ready to talk with you, I noticed these really fascinating press releases about things you're doing that's innovation beyond an app on a phone, for instance. So can you tell us about, for instance, the project you're doing with Walmart?
Yeah, so what we did with Walmart is we opened up a couple of locations in their, a couple of stores in Dallas, and that was a first test. We've actually since closed those down, but that was kind of the first test that we did with Walmart where we wanted to see what would happen if you put a retail kind of training center or education center, really, in the front of a store. And it was really fascinating because what we discovered there is people wanted to learn a lot. But, like, for example, you want to be near a pharmacy where people kind of are waiting around for a prescription rather than front of a store where people are really on their way out after they've checked out. So good learning there. We've also done things with, for example, American Cancer Society and the Alzheimer's Association. And there we've built in training from the American Cancer Society, from the Alzheimer's Association, into Honor's training programs for its care pros so that we can make them truly excellent at working with people who either have, cancer in the case of the training from the American Cancer Society or folks with Alzheimer's, or we've done something with the Parkinson's Foundation as well. And those are now actually becoming modules in the app that the care pros use so that they can get quick reference to material when they're in someone's home. So there's all sorts of stuff that we're doing that really pushes the boundary of home care to deliver a truly unique experience to our customers.
Wow, fascinating. I was just getting sucked into the cycle of listening to that terrific stuff that you're doing. CEO Seth Sternberg, can't wait to see where this all goes. Thank you so much for joining us, and keep an eye on this company, joinhonor.com. Thanks.
Great. Well, thank you for having me.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily, now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
The fascination over what's happened with Prince and prescription drug abuse, really, addiction, is overwhelming in this country, and I think it's just shining a light on that. And there's still more to come as far as Prince is concerned. Joining us now is John Dibin. He is with, I just talked about diamonds. He is with Origins Recovery Centers, and it is one of the leading addiction treatment providers in this country. So, John, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
When you heard, you started to hear the reports about Prince, and then Percocet was mentioned. Did you know, I think I see where we're going with this because you've seen it before?
Well, I mean, the reality is that it's going to happen. You know, about 1,000 people are going to go into hospitals today for overdoses of opiates in the United States.
I mean, so it is, it's, you know, it's in the media because, you know, when we have a star like Prince and someone like him, but the reality is that it is happening in enormous numbers. You're more likely in 2000s today, you're more likely to die from a drug overdose than from an automobile accident in the United States. So it is so widespread that absolutely, you know, you can kind of feel where these are going.
So do you see that at the at your center? Do you see that people can't get off painkillers or they're abusing them? Has that skyrocketed?
Enormously, especially over the past 10, 15 years. In fact, according to the National Institutes of Health, this is one that really blew me away. New heroin addicts. As, you know, people who have become heroin addicted to heroin within the past 10 or 12 years, 80% of them started off with an addiction to a prescription drug. So the flooding of prescription drugs into, you know, our nation is, we're just seeing an epidemic of addiction, and these are absolutely killing people.
Yeah, and we're talking about all across the board, right? Every single class, I mean, from the wealthy on down.
Absolutely. I mean, there is one thing about addiction is addiction is a disease, and it does not, no disease discriminates. So if a person introduces drugs into their system and they have, and not every single person becomes addicted, but those who do, your brain doesn't care if you're wealthy, educated, uneducated. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't care where you got the drugs, whether you got them from a doctor or a dealer. Addiction is addiction, and it doesn't discriminate.
So what's the process? How do you get away from this addiction? How do you detox? What are some of the things that you do at your center? That's got to be tough.
It is tough, and the key is that it takes time. You know, people want, you know, we're a nation that wants a quick fix for anything. But one of the first things is, I mean, I think there's three things that are really important right now. You know, right now there's a move to have a drug available, you know, without prescription. It's called Narcan or Naloxone. That's like almost like an EpiPen. So if someone is found and they're dying of an overdose, you can give that to them and it'll stop the overdose and it'll save their life. So that's a really good thing. The problem is that if that's all you do, you're going to go, that person's going to go right back to the drugs. So they need to be alive. The second thing is, so they need treatment. And treatment, what it does is it says, we're not just going to take the drug away from you, but we're going to actually help you develop a way of life so that you can, you have the skills you need and the connection you need to live drug-free. Treatment gives people in a structured environment where they can't have access to the drugs and where they can struggle for those first 1 to 3 months where their brain really needs to begin healing. But it can't stop there. And one of the things that are, you know, I work for Origins and we talk about it being such a great place. I think one of the reasons is that one of our founders, Ben Levinson, was looking at this problem and saying, you know, even people who go to treatment have the levels of people who are able to stay clean and sober are really low. And so what he developed is a partnership with a company called MAP, and what they do is they actually provide ongoing aftercare. You've got ability to contact somebody 24 hours a day for support and help for over a year after treatment. Because the reality is that especially with opiate addiction, the organ that's involved in the disease is the brain, and the brain does not fully heal until 12 to 18 months. So the answer is you got to be alive. B, you got to get in and have structured treatment that eventually steps down so that you're entering life. But you have to have ongoing structured support, you know, for that first year to year and a half. And that's where people get into trouble. And then along with that, of course, is 12-step, you know, people have different opinions about 12 steps and the success and such. But if people actively engage 12-step recovery, and they generally have to have that support to do that. Recovery is 100% possible, but it's just not easy, and it takes time.
We're speaking
and you need all those components.
Yeah, absolutely. That was great. We're speaking with John Dibben. He is with the Origins Recovery Centers, and we're talking about addiction to painkillers, really, and Prince. And do you think Prince, his death kind of is a little bit of a hello wake up for a lot of people?
I think it is, and it's a devastating thing. The man was a brilliant artist.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so sad to see happen. But I think right now we have been ignoring this problem as a nation for a long, long, long time. And I think there are a lot of things that are happening right now where our politicians and the media are really starting to, even before Prince died, starting to see the enormity of this epidemic and starting to pay some attention to it. So I think Prince's death certainly is another thing that's kind of waking people up. And it's sad. It's sad that we have to, have all these many losses for this to become a top issue. This is the number one cause of accidental death in the United States today.
Wow, crazy. For you, it has to be rewarding to see people do exactly what you just said, the three things that you gave us, if they go through that process and come out on the other side. You've seen that. What is that like for you from the other side of it to see someone come through?
It is indescribable because it is, when patients come in the door, their lives are devastated, but not just their lives, their families' lives, the lives of anyone who loves them, it has been devastated. And so when they become recovered, when they get in and get well and they go through this, it doesn't just do that. It doesn't just do that for them. It fathers return to their children and parents return to their kids and kids, parents get their kids back and families come back together. It's miraculous. One of my favorite things is to see alumni come back and to meet their families and to hear people say, I I'm thinking about fathers right now because I only, very recently, I had a teenager say, I got my dad back. So, when I was several years ago, my daughter was in third grade and she would always talk about this boy that she was friends with. And eventually she came and said, hey, guess what? I was talking to him and his dad has a problem like the people that you help, and his dad got help and got better. Well, it turned out that this kid that I didn't know that my daughter was always talking to in third grade was actually the son of a man who'd been my patient. And it struck me so hard because I realized that man getting sober and getting healthy directly impacted my daughter because this is her friend. Her friend now grows up in a home where he has a father and where they are, there is sobriety and there is health and there's celebration of life as opposed to growing up in a home where there is just brokenness and devastation. So when one person gets well, it doesn't just change their lives. It changes the lives of everyone they love and even people that they don't know.
Wow, how crazy is that? That's an amazing story. John Dibben, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Just a terrific segment. I hope a lot of people are paying attention, and this reaches a lot of people. And if you need help, certainly reach out and grab that help. Thanks, John.
Thank you so much.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on.
So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.